Welcome to the Backup CD. Every week we talk about a random topic. Topics are as important as the U.S. economic tax policy and as trivial and fun as personal Marvel Cinematic Universe movie rankings. We're a group of students who have lots of different interests, and we wanted to share our conversations with you. You may not always be interested in what we're talking about, but hey, just like that backup CD you have in the back of your car in case your phone dies, we're something to listen to. Let's get started. All right, welcome back to the backup CD. It's been one heck of a finals week for us.
Ooh, I want to die.
This on finals week. My left eye was twitching as I woke up this morning, but now I'm loaded up on biscuits and gravy and chocolate milk, so I'm doing a lot better. I'm your co-host, Clint Bisbee. Dylan, go ahead and introduce yourself.
My name is Dylan Passmore. I'm loaded up on caffeine pills and alcohol, so here we are.
Great combination.
Mm-hmm.
He's up and down.
Yeah. My name is Carter. I got a full 8 hours of sleep last night, so I'm feeling pretty good. Actually, I didn't.
All right, so today we are talking about the greatest space opera movie series of all time.
Is it a space opera?
Yeah, man.
Oh, jeez.
Wow.
I've never Where was heard the of that singing?
Bro, that's not what space opera means. See, if you go to Wikipedia.
Oh. Wikipedia.
Is an American epic space opera.
What's the definition of a space opera?
Space opera is a subgenre of science fiction that emphasizes space warfare, melodramatic adventure, interplanetary battles, chivalric romance, and risk-taking.
I thought it had to do with opera. Okay, but go on. We haven't even mentioned what it is yet.
So Star Wars is
Star
a space
Wars.
Opera, as opposed to Star Trek, which I consider a space western.
Hmm.
At least the original series.
That's true, yeah.
Anyway, Star Wars. We all know what it is, and if you don't participate in the culture, yeah, Carter, go ahead and introduce yourself. Did you introduce yourself?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah,
we're all struggling. We're struggling a little bit today.
It's been a long week.
It's been a very long week.
It's been a very long week. So, Star Wars. Let's go through and just talk about episode by episode. You have the first episode. Not the first episode in the movie series, but the original Star Wars. It actually wasn't called Star Wars A New Hope until much later when they needed to differentiate. But you have Star Wars A New Hope, comes out in 1977. Let's talk about why this movie is so great. Just this original, like, honestly, just this original movie is a standalone, mm-hmm. fantastic piece of art.
Yeah, no, that's one thing I always think is interesting, because I grew up and we had the original trilogy on VHS, and I never really considered that when this first came out, that was it. Like, when they went to the award ceremony and they got their medals,
that was it.
That was it.
That was the story.
That was supposed to just be the story. Like, it was supposed to
be. Well, he still had the trilogy in mind.
Yeah.
But
he didn't.
For viewers, that's all that they had. So in this story, you have young Luke Skywalker, who is just a farm boy on the desert planet of Tatooine, until one day when he meets Ben Kenobi, an old wizard-like creature character, who
saves him from the sand people.
Sand raiders.
Yeah. Tusken Raiders, and they go on this grand adventure after his mm-hmm. aunt and uncle are killed, and he saves the Empire, well, he saves the galaxy from the Empire.
Mm-hmm. The Death Star.
The Death Star.
Is introduced in it.
You have
too.
Han Solo and Chewbacca and R2-D2. Just a really great array of characters. We'll dive into more of why it was so big later. But and then 1980, you get the follow-up, considered the best Star Wars film ever, Empire Strikes Back. The Empire is pretty peeved about what's happened. It all starts with a battle on the ice planet of Hoth. Kind of interesting that we start on a desert planet in the first one, and then we go to an ice planet in the second. But yeah, then Luke is driven off this ice planet. He ends up going to the Master Yoda, the ancient
planet Dagobah.
The ancient Jedi Master, who tries to teach him the ways of the Force, but he is tricked by thinking his friends are in danger, which they are. He goes, and he tries to save them. Han Solo is still frozen in Corbomite.
No,
that's
at the end.
Right.
Yeah.
He tries to save him, but he still gets frozen in, what is it? You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
The
ice.
The little block.
Yeah, the block. Anyway.
Something chamber, whatever. Yeah.
Anyway, he fights Darth Vader, the evil lord of the Empire, and he gets his hand chopped off, and Darth Vader says,
Luke, I am your father.
He says, no,
I am your father.
That is the most misquoted TV movie quote in history.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Nerds.
Why are you even here?
Nerds.
You don't know Star Wars.
And
there
then,
you are explaining every episode.
Episode 6, you have the final conflict between the Empire, where Luke is brought to the newly constructed Death Star, while Han Solo and the rest of the rebellion tries to stop the Empire from building this. The whole story. Luke doesn't give in to his hate. Kills the Emperor, who is an evil Sith Lord.
Well, Darth Vader.
Darth Vader kills him, and Darth Vader and his son reconcile, and you know it's the return of the Jedi because Darth Vader comes back to the ways of the light.
And then he dies. Spoilers. If you haven't seen Star Wars by this point, I don't feel bad for you, actually.
Yeah.
I'm going to spoil everything, except for The Mandalorian. I will give it.
And then the end of that movie, 1983, that's the end of the trilogy. And then 1999 hits, and we get the first prequel, The Phantom Menace, where we meet a young Anakin Skywalker, who, with the help of Qui-Gon Jinn and a young Obi-Wan Kenobi, played by the great
Ewan McGregor,
If you follow prequel memes on Reddit, they do worship him as kind of a god.
Yes. There's also Liam Neeson. Is that his name?
Yeah,
Liam Neeson plays Qui-Gon Jinn.
Qui-Gon Jinn gets killed by the evil Darth Maul, but Anakin starts on his path to the Jedi-hood. Jedi-hood, becoming a Jedi Knight.
Yeah.
And then Episode 2, The Attack of the Clones, 2002. They find out that, well, by the way, we're skimming over these. The prequels and the original series have so much more depth into the politics, the culture behind why the Empire arises. In the background of the prequels, you have Chancellor Palpatine slowly rising to power. They get this clone army, the Jedi do, to fight the Separatists, who are really pissed about trade agreements.
Yep.
But,
I'm going to talk about that.
And then in the third episode, it all comes to a head when Chancellor Palpatine really starts to seize power. And he convinces Anakin, who is afraid about losing his wife, Padme, that he can give him the power to control life. He ends up going to the dark side. Anakin does, becoming Darth Vader, serving
and
Chancellor Palpatine, who becomes the Emperor, ends up killing his
wife.
Sith
Lord as Darth Sidious.
Darth Sidious. And it ends. The Republic has fallen. The Empire has risen. But there's hope in these two little baby twins that Anakin's wife sired before she died. And they are given to a prince, a king, an emperor, I don't know, some kind of, like, prince of the...
I think he was a senator.
Yeah, and then
his
daughter's Princess Amadea. How do you say your last name? Leia.
I can't remember.
Anyway, Princess Leia, and then Luke Skywalker.
Organa.
That's it.
And that's
the prequels that end in 2005. Then, fast forward, 2015, we get the first sequel, which is kind of weird that you make three movies that are in the middle of the story. You go back until the beginning, and now you're following up. But you have the first sequel, which follows up. Dylan, you want to cover this one? Covers The Force Awakens.
Oh, yeah, The Force Awakens. What you got is you got Rey. She's on a desert planet? What? No, but Rey is this scrapper. She dreams of being a pilot. What eventually happens is you have a stormtrooper, a defector,
from the New Order.
Yeah, from the New Order.
Which is not the Empire.
Yes, it's different than the Empire. It's the replacement for the Empire. We don't know a lot about the New Order right now. Apparently there's some stuff in the comic books. But there's a stormtrooper defector. His name is Finn.
Finn, that's right.
Come on, man. Come on.
I'm not a big sequel guy.
He ends up on the same planet as Rey, running away. He's trying to free a rebel pilot.
Resistance pilot.
Yeah, resistance pilot. Yeah.
Is there technically a New Republic at this point?
New Republic has technically fallen at this point.
No, it doesn't fall until they destroy the planet.
Yeah, well, it's like, yeah, there is like a New Republic, but then there's the Resistance. I have a whole bunch of complaints about the New Republic. I don't think they were very good at governance.
Well, that's pointed out in The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. They meet up. They think this pilot dies. Finn meets up with Rey. They get off the planet using the Millennium Falcon. They're intercepted by Han Solo and Chewbacca. What? Who are old, and Luke Skywalker can't be found anywhere.
And there's this new Sith guy named Kylo Ren.
Yeah.
Who has this cool, like, lance version of a lightsaber that has little pokey things.
Yeah, Kylo Ren's there. There's this guy named Snoke that's kind of there. Anyway, they have basically a new Death Star that's like a whole planet.
It's called the Starkiller, isn't it?
The Starkiller, yeah.
And so Han Solo and Finn, they try to go in and destroy it. In the process, Kylo Ren confronts Han Solo, who is his father.
Dun, dun, dun. Big twist.
Kylo Ren kills him. Another big twist, really sad. Which is interesting, though, because Harrison Ford wanted a hero's death since the first movie.
Yeah.
Anyway, that all happens. Kylo Ren, they destroy the Starkiller, though, but not before it destroys the home planet of the New Republic.
Mm-hmm.
And...
Yeah, I think that's...
And Rey sets out on a quest to find
Luke
Skywalker, finds him on this sea island planet... And that's the end of the
Ireland planet. Yeah. That's what I like to call it.
Nice.
It's Ireland planet.
And then that's the end of the movie. Yeah. Then, then in between that, we get Rogue One, which is a Star Wars story, an anthology movie that explains how the plans for the Death Star originally got into the hands of Princess Leia in Episode 4. Really good movie. A lot of people consider it their favorite. I like it.
I really enjoy it. Yeah, it just details the plan of how they got the Death Star plans in the first place. Really good movie. A lot of really interesting characters. Then after that, you get The Last Jedi, right?
Yeah, The Last Jedi.
Yeah, Last Jedi.
Which Luke Solo is dejected because he tried to kill Kylo Ren because he sensed the dark in him, and so he realized that the Jedi is wrong, and he won't train
Rey.
Meanwhile, Poe and Finn are trying to escape from the New Order's Star Cruiser, Battle Cruisers.
Armada,
but they're running out of fuel, and he's pissed at Laura Dern because she won't tell him what the plan is, so they go out trying to find this guy to, I don't know, destroy the First Order ships.
Yeah.
Well, really kind of convoluted plot.
Yeah.
And then the real main plot is that Rey won't be taught, but then they all end up on this ice planet, and Luke appears as a Force ghost.
Salt planet.
Luke appears as a Force ghost, buys the Resistance time to escape,
the greatest part of that movie is when they're escaping, when the lady turns their like cruiser around and then just speeds through the.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
And then after that, you get one more movie, Solo, which in my opinion is the greatest Star Wars movie outside the original trilogy, which tells the origin story of Han Solo. And we see Darth Maul, as he did not die, which a lot of fans found confusing, but if you've seen The Clone Wars, you know that he didn't die.
Yeah, or Rebels. You know that he doesn't die.
And then, that's the other part. Then Star Wars, you have the TV shows, you have The Clone Wars,
you
Rebels,
have comic
and Resistance.
Books, you comic have books.
Books. So, well, hold on. Are the comic books and books canon?
So, here's what happened with a lot. So, Star Wars used to have, before it was bought by Disney, after the prequels, it had this huge, and it still has this huge fan base. And what they would do is people would write things about the Star Wars universe. And it would just be different adventures. It would be like different timelines and stuff. It was basically fan fiction. But people would, the community would read through all these things. They had this website, I want to say, and they would rate these books and stuff, these fan-written books, on how well they could fit into the timeline. So you had books from the very beginnings of the Jedi, of like the Force and stuff. You have the beginnings of the Republic. You have throughout the prequels little adventures of different characters, and just through the whole series, and then even going forward in time. Disney bought Star Wars. They own the rights to it now, and they eliminated most of the canon. However, there are still some books, and here's the thing. There's books and comic books that
exist.
That exist. That are technically part of the canon.
Okay.
That fit into
the movie titles.
Yeah, that fit into the movie titles. The big thing that Disney tried to do as part of kind of their marketing of Star Wars is comic books. They did a thing with Marvel. Originally, Dark Horse owned the rights, the comic book rights to Star Wars, but they did a thing with Marvel kind of expanding and filling in the holes and stuff. You find out in one of the comic books that Han Solo had a wife, and so he could technically not get married to Leia because they don't approve of polygamy in space. And yeah.
Which is wild.
Yeah.
It's space.
It's space. Well,
so wait, him and Leia were never married?
Apparently, I don't believe they were. I didn't finish the comic books, but yeah.
But then how does Ben Solo come around?
People aren't all right with polygamy in space, but they're all right with infidelity in space.
Hmm.
Modern problems require modern
okay.
solutions.
Okay. So yeah, that's the rundown on, well, y'all, the TV shows you currently have. The Clone Wars, which is wrapping up, or is it wrapped up?
It had 6 seasons. I think they're all done.
Okay.
You
have the Clone Wars, you have Rebels. Clone Wars takes place in between episodes 2 and 3. Rebels, which takes place before Rogue One, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it has to.
Yeah.
Before Rogue One, after episode 3. And then you have Resistance, which is just kind of happening. Then you have what fans consider to be one of the greatest shows ever, including myself, The Mandalorian.
The Mandalorian.
Takes place shortly after episode 6. And it's about this lone Mandalorian warrior, bounty hunter, who discovers this mysterious child.
A child.
The child. Yeah. Baby Yoda.
Baby Yoda.
Baby Yoda.
The Mandalorian's amazing. Okay, let's dive into some of the conflicts surrounding Star Wars.
All right.
Dylan, you mentioned
the story or like...
No.
Like within the fan base. Because, you know, the most interesting thing about Star Wars...
Here goes Dylan.
It isn't actually the story of Star Wars. It's the fact that it's such a cultural phenomenon.
Yeah.
It's the fact that, like, people all over the world, George Lucas came up with this space opera that doesn't even have any opera in it. And everyone just seems to love it. And there are all sorts of debates, and especially with this new trilogy, it's kicked up a lot of dust within this community. But one of the first things that that seems to be a point of discussion within the Star Wars community are the prequels, which were released in the early 2000s.
And late 90s.
And, well, late 90s, early 2000s. And, you know, a lot of people crap on the prequels.
Yeah.
And I am just not all right with that.
Because the prequels are amazing.
They are.
Here's what I'll say. Lucas made the right choice to not start with the prequels. Prequels. Because if you have two Jedi going to try to settle a trade negotiation, that doesn't sell. But if you have this giant star cruiser just cruise across the space chasing down this beautiful princess for plans to some weapon, that sells.
Yeah.
So I get why they started with the original trilogy, and the original trilogy is still better than the prequels. By no metric can you say that the prequels are better than the original trilogy.
Yeah, well, and that's
the But
thing. Yeah.
The original, I mean, the prequels set up this grand political, cultural universe in which we dive into.
That leads to the rise of the Empire.
Explains the backstory. It creates a lot of allusions to Rome. And
yeah, well, and that's the thing, and... I have this conversation more often than I should where I defend the prequels. And, okay, so the weaknesses of the prequels, I will admit.
Yeah.
Weak dialogue. Yeah, there's a lot of weak writing and weak dialogue.
And in some cases, weak acting.
Yeah, and weak acting. Those are like the three big things.
And overuse of CGI.
Overuse of CGI.
Which,
but,
don't get me wrong, it happens. But it was the early 2000s when that technology was really becoming amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the problem with CGI is that CGI within 10 years always looks bad.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter. Like, back in the day, that kind of looked pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But now it looks bad, and there's a lot of pushback because George Lucas in the original trilogy used all these amazing techniques to make this universe look real without using CGI. but he didn't do that for the prequels. And I get that. It's a fault of the prequels. Most prequel fans admit that. But there's still, if you go on and watch Cinema Wins, the Cinema Wins series on the three prequels, it will dive into about, like, there's still lots of practical effects that are used. So those are the three big things.
Also, I will say, though, the difference between the graphics, CGI, and the Phantom Menace and Revenge of the Sith, like, in just that short amount of time is...
It's pretty drastic.
Yeah.
So there's all these small things within the prequels that, yeah, they're, like, if they were resolved... I think we would regard them as some of the greatest movies
ever made.
Yeah, and some people will say, well, dialogue's a pretty big thing. It's like, well...
We should remake them.
We
should. With Hayden Christensen, Ewan McGregor, just restart.
Yeah, let's do it. Right now.
Okay, we're going to be done for now.
No, but the thing is, with the prequels, is Clint alluded to this, it sets up this grand political and cultural thing in which... I call it world building.
Lucas built the best world in the prequels.
Mm-hmm. No, and that's the thing. And here's the thing. It's not within the target demographic of kids that most people think of. Like, but the Phantom Menace, the title crawl basically opens up with this idea of friction between trade agreements and tariffs. Like, that's what's happening right there, is you have the Republic, who seems to be the main people, and then you have the Trade Federation, which is another...
I don't think the Trade Federation even is a government, is it? It's just an association of planets that want better trade agreements.
Yeah, that's the thing. They want more open trade agreements. They want... And that's the thing. They just...
Well, and honestly, the creation of the prequel universe, where you have this organized government, a legislative body, and an elite force of warriors, the Jedi, building that universe just makes the original trilogy that much more engaging and interesting, because then you have this empire that rules with an iron fist, but at the same time you have these outlands where we kind of end up with Luke and all that, where... government's kind of loose and wild, and
mm-hmm.
and you know, on Tatooine, where Luke kind of can't do whatever he wants, but like they're kind of left alone, and you know, the Empire still rules with an iron fist, but people are kind of left alone a bit more, and that's how we end up in this amazing space journey. But you know, that doesn't become that the prequels added to the original trilogy
mm-hmm.
by enriching what comes before.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of discussions of like the history of politics and stuff. And it just makes, and never within, here's why I like the prequels, is you always feel, and this is just my opinion, you can feel free to disagree, you feel like the story and what you're focusing on at one moment is just a very small part of the entirety of the universe.
When I watch the sequels, the conflicts I see is what I feel like the entire universe
is. Yeah,
is.
That's the thing. And that's why I would argue, like, I genuinely like the prequels for that one reason. The fact that it's just excellent world building. It's great.
Just the political discussions are really interesting, like, especially in Revenge of the Sith. So I've been taking advantage of Disney Plus and all the movies on there and watch them. But, like, this whole idea is, like, you can watch Chancellor Palpatine kind of get more power to, like, set himself up to do what he does in Revenge of the Sith and, like, kind of take control of this clone army and destroy the Jedi and set up...
The Empire.
The Empire. And, like, the Jedi that kind of are part of this ruling, governing body in
are
the...
Are just as blind as the rest of everybody else.
Yeah, exactly. Even then, they're still concerned with, like, how... Like, there are several times where Mace Windu's like... Okay, the war is over. We need to go make sure that Chancellor Palpatine returns the power that he took and said he would give back as an executive to, like, this legislative body in terms of, like, war powers and stuff.
Maybe it's just because we're political science.
Yeah,
that.
Maybe
yeah,
that's
I,
why, yeah.
Well, and I think there's something there. So the opening scene with Obi-Wan Kenobi and Qui-Gon Jinn is, I have a bad... The first line is in The Phantom Menace. It's, I have a bad feeling about this. And Qui-Gon Jinn says, well, I don't feel anything. And Obi-Wan Kenobi says, it's not about this situation. It's everything. Like, and Obi-Wan Kenobi's just like, stuff's about to go down that... Yeah, like...
Mm-hmm. Well, and here's the other... This is a big fan theory I've read before, and I love this fan theory. If Qui-Gon had survived, Anakin never would have turned to the dark side.
Mm-hmm.
And here's why. The Jedi have become a shadow of their former self. They've become so ingrained into the Jedi code, and that it must be strictly enforced. And Anakin's willing to accept that, and he's willing to see that he has failures of his own, right?
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as Mace Windu wants to kill Palpatine and break the Jedi code... It snaps in Anakin that this order that he's supposed to have supported his whole life is a farce.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, if he'd been trained by Qui-Gon Jinn, throughout the first movie, Qui-Gon Jinn shows so many times that he's willing to bend the Jedi Code, right?
Yeah.
He's still a good human being, a good Jedi, but he's willing to bend the Jedi Code to use, not the dark side, but to use tactics that aren't necessarily what the Jedi would approve of.
Mm-hmm.
And if he had allowed Anakin... where I don't think Obi-Wan did, to have flexibility, to explore, like a normal teenager should, Anakin wouldn't have felt so repressed and wouldn't have snapped when he saw that he had been repressed by a system that was not true to its own values.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's interesting. And once again, this has been shot by Disney, and this is no longer canon. But the original Jedi, based on the old canon... they were very balanced in their use of the light and the dark side of the Force. And I think that's something that's kind of being hinted on in the new trilogy, is the fact that you need both the light and the dark. So the Jedi used to live on this planet with two moons, and one embodied the light side of the Force, and the other embodied the dark side of the Force. And every time they felt one of their members was becoming too immersed in one or the other, they would send them to the opposite side. So one Jedi started leaning too much towards the dark side of the Force, they would send them to the light moon, and they would have to use the light side of the Force to survive on this moon. And the same with the light side. They would send them to the dark side. They would have to embrace some of their dark side to balance. And that's what the Jedi was supposed to originally be. They were supposed to be just balanced.
And the prophecy about Anakin is that he brings balance to the Force, and Obi-Wan's all upset because he went to the dark side, but he did create balance in the Force. You had, at the end of Episode 3, you have, well, this isn't exactly true, but you, as far as we know from just the movies, you have two Jedi and two Sith.
Yeah. Oh, that's true.
That's a good point, yeah.
The other last thing I'll say is there's some great memes from the prequels where it's like, where Mace Windu has Palpatine at the tip of his lightsaber, and he says, he must die, you know, and Anakin says, it's not the Jedi way. He says, you know what, I'll grant you one pass on the Jedi code. He says, all right, I want you to let me marry Senator Amidala publicly, and I want her to have the best access to medical care so that she can bear our children. And Mace Windu's like, that's really specific, but all right. And then the other one is you know the part where they say, you're on this council, but you're not a Jedi Master?
Yeah.
It was like, Anakin just says, actually, I really appreciate the offer, but I'm going to go leave the Jedi Order to be with my wife and raise our two beautiful children. I thank you both. So those are the memes. Let's talk about the sequels.
Yeah. So just to recap on the prequels, yeah, there's some bad dialogue. There's some bad acting. CGI is early 2000s. But overall, great experimentation in terms of world building, the technology at the time, and a lot of interesting developments in terms of character, especially Obi-Wan Kenobi and Yoda, two characters in the original trilogy that, I mean, in my opinion, are kind of just there. But yeah, all right.
Sorry about the sequels. I think Force Awakens is okay. A lot of people say go either way. They say Force Awakens is an amazing film that deserves our love and praise, or they say it's just a remake of Episode 4.
Mm-hmm.
I think the latter is true, but that's okay. I think they wanted to play it safe to start out, you know, with some new, really new material. The prequels were new, but like you're still dealing with established groundwork and established fact, whereas with the sequels, you're totally new territory. So I think it was good to that. Episode 8 is the worst Star Wars film ever made. And here's why.
Okay.
A lot of people will say, you just are a sexist because you hate Rose and you hate Rey and all these things. No. I loved the character of Rey, and I wanted to see more of her in Episode 8. Instead, we spent a good hour and a half of the movie following Rose and Poe and Finn, or whoever the hell else. Sorry, we follow them on this useless mission that doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah,
I wanted to
true.
See Rey. You know, if this movie was really about Rey, and it's really about empowering female characters, give her the limelight. Give her the spotlight to shine. The other thing is, this is for all fans who crapped on Rose, the actress, who if you gave her crap, like, I just can't stand you, because it's not the actress's fault. She did as good a job as she could have done with the character she was given, okay?
Mm.
That character was garbage. Rose was garbage, the character, okay? Not the actress. She's probably a very nice person. She did the best she could with a bad character. You waste all this time on this useless mission. That's the payoff at the end is just Rose saying, "We don't win by destroying the things we hate. We win by saving the things we love." It's like, no, he could have destroyed. He was sacrificing himself. Like, I get it. Nobody wanted to see that. But, like, it was going to. The payoff was so garbage for that. Episode 8 could have been something amazing. But Rian Johnson screwed us all.
Boo-hoo.
Also, okay, this is my thing. The throne room scene in Episode 8.
Whatever his name is.
Where they kill Snoke.
Snoke, yeah.
I think it's really overrated.
I think so too, yeah.
I think the first time you see it, it's like, wow, that's really cool. But you actually look through it again, it's really poorly choreographed.
Yes.
And I kind of have a problem with it. Not because I really care about it, but the fact that everyone thinks it's like, this is the best lightsaber fight ever. It's like,
no.
Duel of the Fates in The Phantom Menace was better, but
also I think the Anakin Obi-Wan duel in Revenge of the Sith.
Oh yeah,
is probably
better.
No, well, it's just poorly choreographed. Like you have like, I mean, and I get it because you have like six guys fighting against two people,
yeah.
And it's hard to like get everyone to always constantly be doing something.
Well, and like, I don't know if I'm thinking of the same thing, but this is when they kill him, right?
Uh-huh.
Like
yeah.
You have this powerful Sith that's up to this point been able to do a lot of things and like get them to like see each other in their minds or whatever, but he wasn't able to stop himself being killed and like
Bad payoff. Who was Snoke? We don't even know who Snoke
was.
So Episode 8 is a disappointment, and I hope Episode 9 answers a lot of questions for me, gives me a good payoff that I can appreciate the sequels as a whole.
Mm-hmm. They just released a new trailer for...
Well, for us, when this comes out, it'll be the 18th, so it'll been like a week ago.
Yeah, yeah. When this comes out, yeah. They released a new trailer for it today. It focuses heavily on Kylo Ren, who is the bad guy in... Oh, he's an interesting guy.
And then you hear Palpatine...
And Darth Vader. Both of their voices are used in that. Because when he says, my son...
And Snoke, I think.
Oh, yeah, and Snoke. So, I don't know. I'm getting the sense that there's something bigger. Maybe Yoda's still alive. And he's... No, you guys. It's Jar Jar Binks.
Okay, we have to talk about this. If you have not seen the video on YouTube that explains how Jar Jar Binks is a Sith Lord, you're not woke. You're not woke.
I don't know if I've seen this.
You may say... Bush did 9/11, which he didn't. We can talk about that in a whole other episode. But if you don't think, or at least if you haven't considered that Jar Jar Binks may be a Sith Lord, you are a waste.
You are an ignorant person, and you don't deserve to procreate. So
No, you're not a waste. But seriously, it is a really interesting video. Kind of turned me for a loop. But no. So you have Episode 9 coming out soon.
But Episode 9,
they've said that this will be the end of the Skywalker saga, right?
Yeah. My hesitancy, and I don't know, and maybe this is how people felt with the original trilogy after The Empire Strikes Back, but I just don't see how they're going to tie everything up. I'm a little worried about that, and I'm going to try to go in with as open a mind as I can. I don't know. I don't understand the sometimes people, and this is just a general thing, this isn't Star Wars specific, they look at things and they say, well, I hate it already before they've actually seen it.
Yes.
And I think that,
yeah,
and that's the thing, I think it kind of happened with The Last Jedi. I think it's kind of going to happen with
Rise of Skywalker.
And I really hope that it's a good movie. I would really enjoy an excellent closing to this series because
it deserves it.
Yeah, it deserves it. And here's the thing with Star Wars. I don't think it's ever really been about characters. I think there's characters that people are interested in. Like Darth Vader's always been one. Like Boba Fett. People became really interested in Boba Fett for some reason.
In the 70s and 80s?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's like the most popular Star Wars character ever.
Really?
Really?
Yeah. No, like...
And we're not talking Jango from the prequels. We're talking Boba from
We're talking Boba. Because he just kind of shows up, does his job, and he's really good at it.
He doesn't even have any lines,
no,
does he?
No, he really doesn't have too many lines. I think he has a couple, but...
And is he a... Yeah, okay.
He's not a Mandalorian.
He just wears Mandalorian armor.
No, but I think the Star Wars universe has always been more about the world than it has been about the characters.
Yes.
And such. I mean, and with that, the fact that you have these powerful beings that are the main drivers in this world, but still, I think it's always been about the universe and giving people the ability and kind of a starting point to imagine... I don't know what it would be like to be a magical space wizard or have
so,
these Star Wars battles.
There's this concept in folklore about how superheroes are the modern mythos.
Yeah.
They're the modern Hercules. They're modern, and I think that this extends to Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
You have these stories that are meant to tell themes and archetypes, and they aren't as much about the characters or the story itself. It's about its place in the broader mythos of a culture, if you can put it that way. And Star Wars definitely, I'd say bar nothing else, there Star Wars is the American part of the American mythos more than any other movie.
Mm-hmm.
I really would think that. I mean, you have it. This sounds weird because it's not, but it is so American, but also not. Do you guys get what I'm saying? That,
yeah,
like, only in America could this movie have been made, but that doesn't... I don't know.
Its influence extends past just America.
But...
It's, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah,
it's,
yeah, yeah.
For our listeners who don't, I'm very sorry. I'm just trying to articulate here that this movie is such an ingrained part of our culture that I don't think you can talk about America without recognizing Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is so ingrained into what it means by what we say American culture.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like you can't bring up Russia without bringing up Tetris or vodka.
Yeah.
No.
Sure. Yeah, no. Yeah. Okay. So I think the conclusion to our little discussion about the conflicts is that... Here's what I'll say. Is that it's okay to have preferred movies.
Mm-hmm.
But going forward, we can't be negative. We have to accept what the art has given to us. If you watch Cinema Wins, when he does his Last Jedi one, it's interesting. He kind of says, like, even if you hate this, this is Star Wars now.
Yeah.
Like, you can't change that. And that really kind of helped me see Last Jedi in a more positive light. It's like, look, can't get rid of this movie. It's part of the universe now. I have to accept it and make the most of it. And I think that's helped me be a little more positive on it. Look forward, hopefully, to Episode 9 resolving some questions. Let's talk about why. Let's rewind a bit. Why was Star Wars such a hit in 1977? And why has it lasted? Here's what I'll say. It's a hit in 1977 because you've never seen anything like it before.
Yeah.
You obviously have TV shows like Star Trek, some other ones like Lost in Space that kind of have this fun sci-fi fantasy element. But nothing on the grandeur and scale of Star Wars. My mom recalls, like, she had friends whose older siblings, because my mom was not a teenager yet, didn't go without family, but she had some friends whose older siblings would go 30, 40 times to see this movie in theaters.
30, 40 times?
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
Well, my uncle, my dad's brother, he has this really cool picture of this movie theater where they lived, like, around the time the first Star Wars movie came out. But I think, like, one, there was not very much else like Star Wars at the time.
Most sci-fi like, was kitschy.
Yeah.
It was kind of like, you know, you're Robbie the Robot. There was some good stuff. Like, I'd argue Star Trek, the original series, but that's a TV show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You never have something like this that is good sci-fi.
Yeah.
Because there's been good sci-fi before this, but it was never on the screen.
Well, and that's the thing. You've never had sci-fi that kind of... Yeah, I feel like Star Wars appeals to the average viewer in that it's exciting. It doesn't deal... Generally, what sci-fi does is it takes a technology and it takes it to the extreme. So what will it look like in the future...
That's why dystopia is very popular.
Yeah. We've talked about this before. But we take, like, robots to the extreme or genetically modified foods or something like that.
Star Wars doesn't do that.
Yeah, no, Star Wars is... A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. It's like, it doesn't have much to do with technology at all. I mean, space, but it's a whole different world. It's almost more like a fantasy. But yeah, no, it appeals more to people in that sense, in that it's imaginative, but it doesn't require you to really...
Exert yourself.
Yeah, exert yourself.
Carter, what were you going to say? Sorry, I interrupted you.
No, it's okay. I mean... Dylan kind of did a good job. He hit the nail on the head there. But what I was going to say is that you just have this, like, classic story, simple story of, like, good versus bad. Like, you have the good guys versus the bad guys. And I think, as you can see in a lot of different movies, those kind of just, like, captivate people and capture their attention and really, inspire people in a way. It's not a really complex story in any way, like in the original, especially like A New Hope, like in the way that the characters are introduced. But you also have just like these intriguing characters of Darth Vader and this guy, Luke Skywalker, who comes from this small little desert hut thing and becomes this inspiring character that freaking destroys the Death Star, this thing that can blow up planets. And, you know, that was really what I was going to say.
Yeah. So what's your favorite?
Probably Rogue One, actually.
Yeah.
I really enjoy Rogue One.
Okay.
You have a lot of really complex characters. You have a lot of really, really interesting characters. And that's the thing. I said this thing earlier about how Star Wars is really about the world, but now it seems I'm contradicting myself in that. The reason I like Rogue One so much is you have just these really...
Intriguing characters.
Really intriguing characters. Really complex. Their morals aren't always in the right place. Like, they do bad things. Like, most of them are just criminals. They don't adhere to even the rebels' standards and stuff, but yet they lead the way.
Mm-hmm.
And they carry out this mission. And it's also a really beautiful movie in terms of actually looking at things, so...
Carter, what's your favorite?
I think my favorite might be Revenge of the Sith.
Okay.
I don't know. I think it's just like a perfect way to tie in the like prequels and the original trilogy. And I mean, for the most part up to this point, like the good guys are winning like in the original trilogy. Luke Skywalker is triumphant quite a bit, and
mm-hmm.
You kind of get a similar sense in Phantom Menace and the Clone Wars or whatever it's called.
But Revenge of the Sith,
they lose, and it's kind of...
And that's okay, though, in that movie, because...
Because we know what happens.
Right.
We know what happens. But I think it's just, like, very well-done movie, I think, compared to the first two movies in the prequels. Like, CGI and acting, everything's so much better. And it's just a good, like, the perfect tie-in between the two trilogies.
So for me, it's hard. I definitely say the original trilogy, all three of them top out above everything else.
Yeah.
Just because, mm-hmm. And it's hard because I really just want story. I usually say Return of the Jedi is my favorite. I don't always stand by that. Sometimes it's the original one. Sometimes it's Empire Strikes Back. But generally, those three are always in the top three. I really like Solo. A lot of people didn't because it's a little too out there for some people. But I really liked it. I really liked how it establishes this character of Solo. And for me, it's the first real anthology movie in the sense that it's different from the rest of the story. Like it's involved, but it doesn't directly aid the plot. I agree with Carter. Revenge of the Sith is an amazing movie. Yeah, that's probably it. Any last thoughts before we wrap up? If you haven't watched it recently, you need to, especially before you go see episode 9. That's my plan, is to watch all 8 movies.
Wow.
Before I go see episode 9.
That's gonna be a long...
The thing is, though, I don't know if they have The Last Jedi on Disney Plus.
Do they not?
I haven't seen it, unless they have it on Netflix or something.
I'll find it.
They might.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen The Mandalorian, we're not being sponsored by Disney, but you should go and see The Mandalorian.
It's amazing.
Even if it's just for Baby Yoda.
We didn't even talk about The Mandalorian. We could spend a whole episode on The Mandalorian.
Let's spend a whole episode on The Mandalorian after it's all done. it's funny because the last episode of The Mandalorian is coming out like the same day as Rise of the Skywalker. There's only 8 episodes.
Really?
So
have they released 6 yet?
Yeah, they've released 6.
Yeah,
I watched 6 this morning at 3 in the morning. My plan today was Carter and I are roommates, and I was like, I'm just going to stay up till Carter gets home, then goes to bed. Carter didn't come home last night because he fell asleep somewhere else on a bench like a homeless person, I suppose. But
it was actually on the quad.
Yeah, I was on the quad.
What? What?
Just kidding. No. That was a joke.
No, but The Mandalorian's amazing.
Next goal is to watch Clone Wars. I've heard it's amazing.
I haven't seen
a lot of it.
Clone Wars is really good.
That's on Disney Plus too, isn't it?
Yeah. Clone Wars starts out, and here's why. So Clone Wars starts out as basically a kid show. There's a lot of like really more kiddish humor, appeals to that demographic. But then over time, like things get real in the Clone Wars. Like things get real, and there's a lot of development of Anakin's character over time, and a lot of the questioning and the more moral reasoning that happens between episode 2 and 3 happens during the Clone Wars series. I haven't seen much of Resistance and Rebels. I've seen a couple of episodes, but nothing
amazing.
Yeah, nothing that stands out. There's some interesting things with like Jedi culture after Order 66 that is explored in Rebels, I believe. They also have Anakin's apprentice come back. There's actually a lot of cool stuff in Rebels, more than I'm thinking about it. But it's very niche. It's very niche. I know.
Like Dylan.
Yeah. I am Dylan. Yeah.
Like Dylan's pretty niche.
Mm-hmm.
Niche.
I'm drinking just water
out of a coffee
tumbler right now.
Out of Town Square Dental.
Coffee tumbler, water
out of it. Yeah. We are not sponsored by Town Square Dental.
This
has been a really good discussion, guys. We will not be here for the next 2 weeks. We will not be here on Christmas. We will not be having an episode for that day or New Year's. So this will be our last episode for a bit. We will be back in your podcast listening ears, we'll be back on Podbean. Let me check the calendar here. If we won't be here Christmas, so we won't be here the first. We will be back on January 8th. We wish you all a Merry Christmas. We also wish congratulations to our co-host Carter, because over this time frame, he will become a married man to his wonderful fiance Abby.
Yay.
If anybody wants to go. No, I'm just kidding. really congratulations to him. We will see you all back on January 8th. Enjoy this episode.
Bye. Adios.
Amigos.